virus to push the world into recession. Europe and EU countries, no exception.
Well, the first most important thing is to achieve herd immunity. This won't be done overnight. Obviously, a certain number of people have already been infected. We don't know how many people have been infected because so many people that are infected don't show symptoms. But we assume a certain percentage of the population has already been infected.
While infections leading to deaths and lockdowns replaced economic activity, the future looked bleak. Even when the vaccinations had been introduced, the EU was slow in its rollout, plagued by controversy with the UK over the availability.
Companies have to honor their contract to the European Union before they export to other regions in the world.
Giving herd immunity, obviously, it is to distribute the vaccine. Now, that in itself is a huge, huge task. And it has been slow, certainly in certain countries more than others. But that is the fundamental way that we can get the economy moving again, is to get people vaccinated. Now,
Europe experienced the worst economic contraction since World War II, and maybe even worse, since 2021 future remained uncertain while the pandemic persisted. Meanwhile, the EU, after heated debates and discussions, came up with a rescue plan, over $2 trillion. A ghastly figure, which should be enough to cushion the blow, or will it?
And this, I think, is a remarkable moment of unity for the European Union. It resulted in, indeed, the recovery package and resilience package we have now, Next Generation EU, of an unprecedented magnitude. And now it's up to us to invest it in the right way and in a responsible way.
Stimulus would help in this current environment. And the main thing to focus on is making sure the businesses don't go out of business. The problem is when a business fails, and say a restaurant, once it fails, to get it going again requires investment. And in a situation where no one has got any money because it's been a difficult time for too long, there is very little money around to get businesses started again.
Joining me in the studio is Mick Wallace, member of the European Parliament. Mick Wallace is an Irish politician and former property developer who has been a member of the European Parliament from Ireland for the South constituency since July 2019. He's a member of Independence for Change. It's part of the European United Left Nordic Green Left. Mike Wallace, welcome. The EU, like other unions or countries, has been gripped in the throes of COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the economic decline or recession as a result has been one of the worst that's been recorded at 7% for the year 2020. And for the year 2021, some EU countries have gone into a double dip recession. Now, what are the plans that the EU has to come out of this recession?
Yeah, well, I think what people outside of Europe need to understand, and inside Europe for that matter, is that the potential recession from the COVID crisis has a different impact on different people. The lockdown has been very selective. For example, in a country like Ireland, the small shops, the family-owned bars and restaurants are closed. But manufacturing industry, meat plants, processing plants, they're all open. Mines, they're all open. So in Ireland at the moment, you could go to work and work inside in a factory where there's 400 or 500 other people. And on your way home from work in the evening, you wouldn't be allowed to visit your friend. You don't have a cafe or a bar or a restaurant to go to. You're not allowed to play outdoor football, but you can work in a factory during the day inside or in a meat plant or a mine. Now, this is a bit ridiculous, but the truth be told is that the EU, and one of the reasons that we actually haven't got a measure on the pandemic, is that we have been too inconsistent in how we've dealt with it. And that inconsistency will reflect.
Lots of interesting points Mick Wallace makes there. Well, let's take a look at what type of social media content is on this topic of the EU, which is pretty widespread in terms of what is happening. Taking a look at our first tweet, the spring 2020 EC forecast projects that the euro area economy will contract by a record 7.7% in 2020, and that it's going to grow by 6.25% for the year 2021. And the EU economy is forecast to contract by 7.5% in 2020 and grow by 6% in 2021. Another response to this, both the depth of the recession and the strength of the recovery will be uneven. That is certain for now. By acting together in the response to the coronavirus pandemic, we can overcome this crisis and build a common, better future. We'll have to wait and see if that happens. A lot of the recovery for the Europe and the European Union countries lie in the vaccination campaigns, which has been slow. Big EU countries like France, Germany, and Italy have administered at least one vaccination shot to less than 10% of their population. Some EU countries have begun to apply stimulus measures, as was evident in one of these tweets, in order to keep their economies afloat.
Outbreak is having a negative impact on the global economy.
European countries feeling the economic decimation, some more than others.
There are huge and significant risks to our economic projections, and most notably including with the pace of vaccination. What we know is the faster countries vaccinate and the quicker they can reopen their economy.
First, Italy. Eyes on the ground, Italians queue in silence for a food handout outside of one of Milan's charity. Since coronavirus swept across the country a year ago, the line has grown and grown. Throughout Italy, the number of people in poverty jumped by 1 million in 2020 to 5.6 million, a 15-year high. In Spain, crushed by COVID, small Spanish firms struggle to survive. In France, the voice of despair can be heard in this restaurant owner's voice, while glancing at some of the empty tables and chairs in his restaurant. From retail to tourism, France is suffering. This snapshot of economic activity for the month of April and March shows how severe the economy was affected. Double digits, all in the negatives. Perhaps these scenes will become commonplace again, like when the Eurozone debt crisis gripped Europe. Austerity was the buzzword back then, with protests breaking out as a result of wage and budget cuts.
Back with me in the studio is Mick Wallace, member of the European Parliament. Mick Wallace, the EU is at risk of a double-dip recession if it hasn't fallen into one already. Employment and retail numbers, they do remain weak. Meanwhile, the COVID vaccine rollout has been a disaster. It's been suggested that in the first quarter of 2021, we would also see the 19-country bloc's economy contract. Now, is the EU in need of a new round of fiscal stimulus, like the U.S., for example?
Yeah, I mean, we have a big problem in Europe in that you take a country like Ireland, right? We can't print money like the U.S. or the U.K. can, because the ECB calls the shots. We're in the European Union, and they don't want to print money. And the main reason they don't want to print money is because the Germans don't want to print money. And in order to solve these problems or to address some of the challenges of these problems, the Germans have more money than everybody else. People need to understand that the European Union is run by Germany for Germany. And everybody else is secondary. Obviously, France, Holland, Austria, some of the Scandinavians are also important players financially. But Germany is the big dog, and they make most of the big calls.
But you didn't know that about Germany. Anyways, let's see if some of the social media posts actually have a response there to Mick Wallace. This particular one from Rob Kimball. Meanwhile, in the EU, the German government's Council of Economic Advisers expects Europe's largest economy to shrink by roughly 2% in the first quarter of this year, according to Reuters as a source. The next tweet, the UK is already on course for the deepest downturn of any major economy. And as CNN reported, Brexit, a major factor, as the ability to do deep EU, US, and Chinese deals fall apart and 19 EU-CU deals have not rolled over. Global Britain was a soundbite only. Interesting way of characterizing it. Well, if we were to take a look at that, that's probably not something that's going to happen immediately because of the fact that we're looking at EU sanctioning China, for example. And that's the point that I raised earlier in the program. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Economic Divide, but don't go anywhere as we have plenty more coming up. So stay right where you are. Hello and welcome to our InfoNews section. First up, Saudi Aramco. Its profits fell 44% for the year 2020. It attributed the reason to lower oil prices that stemmed from the pandemic cutting into the earnings. And then, get this, even though there was a decrease in earnings, it still pledged to pay $75 billion in dividends. And where did the dividends go to? The Saudi government. Most of it, because it owns 98% of Aramco. Well, it was World Water Day this past week. How do you value water was the title to this story. 844 million people lack basic drinking water access. That's more than one out of every 10 people on the planet. Women and girls spend an estimated 200 million hours hauling water every day. And every day, more than 800 children under the age of 5 die from diarrhea attributed to poor water. Does that answer the question on how we value water? Okay. Next up, the issue of how tax evasion by the rich is still a problem in the U.S., seen in this next headline. This is tax evasion. Richest 1% of U.S. households don't report 21% of their income using complete tax avoidance strategies. That allows them to outmaneuver the federal government. It said we estimate that 36% of federal income taxes unpaid are owed by the top 1%. And on to our final story from the South China Morning Post. Russia-China can reduce sanctions risks by moving away from the U.S. dollar. Now, that should work together to resist American sanctions by becoming more self-reliant in science and technology and thus move away from the U.S. dollar for trade. All right, time now to take a look at our final report, which takes a look at the EU's economic signs since the 2008 world financial crisis, which erupted into the EU debt crisis. Did the EU ever grow out of the crisis, or has it just lingered on until the coronavirus hit, which has now pushed it over the edge?
The EU has been slammed for its handling of the vaccine rollout.
We have to be absolutely clear and stop it. Stop it. With AstraZeneca, with these dirty tricks, we cannot accept it.
This bad performance of AstraZeneca has created a reputational issue for all of us, be it the Commission or the Member States.
There are huge popular waves of Euroscepticism and a lack of trust in national European institutions, and even worse, in its leaders. But the leaders, like the ambitious French President Emmanuel Macron, have made their positions clear. No compromise at the cost of the European ambition, as seen in the EU recovery plan.
Mais ces compromis, je le dis très clairement, ne se feront pas au prix de l'ambition européenne. Pas pour le principe, mais parce que nous sommes face à une crise qui est inédite sur le plan sanitaire, économique et social. Parce que nos pays en ont besoin et l'unité de l'Europe en a besoin.
Realistically, debt doesn't seem to really be an issue anymore. And the reason why is that we've got into the habit of printing money whenever there's a problem. And we keep printing money. And everybody keeps printing money.
Reactions to the rescue plan have been positive, like in the case of debt-ridden Italy.
Presidente, onorevoli senatrici, onorevoli senatori.
Where the money from the EU recovery plan can or cannot be applied is also one mired in controversy. COVID-19 may have affected many industries like tourism, but perhaps the post-COVID period will usher in a new era of economic hope.
Back in the studio with Mick Wallace, member of the European Parliament. Mick, our final question to you. The 2008 financial crisis resulted in the Eurozone debt crisis of over 1 trillion euros that was needed in bailout funds. Top countries like Greece, France, Italy, and Spain, they accrued massive debts. These countries are still the highest risk countries, even before the pandemic hit. Why were they not able to make the strides necessary to improve economically, do you think? And now they are facing a more severe downturn due to the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, look at political philosophy is buried. And in my opinion, the European Union made a huge mistake in how it dealt with the banking crisis. This was a crisis that was created by nobody else but the financial institutions. And the financial institutions did not suffer from the crisis. They were bailed out, they came out of it fine, and they're all doing grand, thank you very much. But lots of people have suffered dramatically from it and haven't recovered from it. Those countries were amalgamated into the European Union overnight. There was two guiding principles that made that happen. Number one, they wanted a cheap pool of labour from Eastern Europe to be able to supply mainly seasonal work and menial labour tasks in Western developed Europe. Number two, they wanted many of those countries, especially those that were close to the Russian border, they wanted to get them into NATO.
All right. We want to thank Mick Wallace, European Parliament member, for his thoughts here. It's time now for in-depth section. It's actually a good time to go back to when the Eurozone debt crisis broke out and what it was. Well, amid the 2008 financial crisis, many Eurozone countries were unable to control their debts due to exposure to the banks. And this became known as the Eurozone debt crisis. Many countries needed bailouts, countries like Greece, Ireland, Spain, and Portugal. The EU and the IMF agreed to a 750 billion euro or $1 trillion for these crisis-hit Eurozone countries. Now, fast forward to the year 2020. How did the $1 trillion bailout actually fare out? Well, the ratio of government debt to GDP, as you can see here, was 176.6%. That really put into question why the bailout didn't help, or worse yet, where the money went. And here we are, the year 2021. Europe is in the throes of a COVID-19 pandemic, the third to have hit. And we're seeing a repeat of another bailout. The figure? Did I hear $1 trillion? $2 trillion. No, the amount, $2.2 trillion or 1.85 trillion euros, backed by a joint debt. Now, here are the countries getting the first batch of the bailout money. You can see Italy, Spain, and France with the various amounts. And finally, the big question is whether this huge bailout money will work or not. Well, let's take a look at the map of Europe. That's color-coded over here. The countries in green have national debts below 100 billion euros, yellow to be below 1 trillion euros, and the ones in red above 1 trillion euros. So there you can see whether this actually worked or not. In closing, I could talk about how badly some EU countries are doing economically and how the EU and the ECB, the European Central Bank, will come to the rescue again. I mean, the effort will be made to save these economies. I mean, there can't be any other way, can it? To save the Euro project, that's the goal. One would think the EU would do everything it can to not lose any business. Well, if that's the case, then why does it go and sanction China? Or why does it sanction Iran or Russia? I mean, in the case of Iran, it could do business with Iran, do a lot of business with Iran. It's supposed to do it due to the JCPOA, but it's not. Russia, yes, it does do business with Russia, but it goes ahead and sanctions its officials, including China. Furthermore, talk about Russia. Why doesn't it, or didn't it use the Russian Sputnik V vaccine? It's known to be effective. I mean, the rollout in the EU was very slow. The economy could have been rolling right now a lot more than it is. I mean, shouldn't human lives be more important than politics? Well, that does it for this edition of Economic Divide. Thanks so much for tuning in. From Mikhail Tavlai, the entire team is goodbye until next week.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Nasiri. Stay tuned.
دلمون که رفتیم این په دل رفتن کارامون آثار و نتایج داره هر کاری یه اثری داره هر حرکتی یه اثری داره
Following one's desires has its own consequences because every deed and manner has effect on others. Allah looks at your deed along with the effect that it has on others. So we must be careful about the effects of our deeds. The important point here is that Allah is all just. He is just and He acts according to His justice. Therefore, I must not fear Him. However, I must fear the consequences of my deeds. This fear is called khawf in Islamic terminology.
رجا هم هست خوف و رجا رجا یعنی امیدواری امیدوار باشی
From the other side, we have another term called raja, which means hope. Usually, these two terms come together, which means that we must fear the consequences of our evil deeds, but also we must hope for Allah's mercy upon us. We must be always hopeful if we do our duties in the right manner. We must hope for a benevolence that will come to me from Allah for my good deeds. Now, if I hope to reach benevolence, or if I hope to reach my goal in life, it needs some preparations. Raja means that you have hopes in reaching your goals, or mercy of Allah upon observing some prerequisites in your life. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Nasiri. Please do log into our website, which is parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, God bless you all, and may Allah be with you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump both increased the number of American personnel in Afghanistan before reducing them. Moreover, Biden, despite joining his predecessor in criticizing endless wars, never committed to implementing the peace accord. Withdrawing quickly would be the only proper response, ending American involvement in Afghanistan's endless war. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Doug Bandow, author. This article is published under the heading Biden Plans Afghanistan Train Wreck. Stay tuned for more. The seemingly eternal war in Afghanistan continues. The American forces have been on station for nearly 20 years, longer than the Mexican-American War, Civil War, Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, and Korean War combined. Some $2 trillion have been spent. More than 6,000 U.S. service members and contractors have died, along with roughly 1,100 allied troops. Many more have been wounded, some suffering crippling injuries. Absent a speedy exit, those numbers will continue upward. The U.S. is supposed to leave Afghanistan on May 1st, the timetable agreed to by the Taliban. However, at his recent press conference, President Joe Biden essentially admitted that American forces won't be leaving then. He expressed hope that they would not be there next year. Presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump both increased the number of American personnel in Afghanistan before reducing them. Moreover, Biden, despite joining his predecessor in criticizing endless wars, never committed to implementing the peace accord. Worse, the president is under significant pressure from the Pentagon, hawkish establishment media, mostly interventionist think tank Paladins, and a bipartisan war lobby. Never mind two decades of failure. Even after American put in early 100,000 troops and largely European allies added another 40,000, acknowledging error was simply beyond members' comprehension. Countries in the region also would push harder for delay, preferring that the U.S. continue to relieve them of responsibility for confronting the conflict. But what would Biden do then? Withdrawing quickly would be the only proper response, ending American involvement in Afghanistan's endless war. However, countervailing pressure would be heavy. Public outrage would encourage retaliation. The entire pro-war establishment would declare the administration's policy a failure and demand that he send in heavy reinforcements, which would not likely prove temporary. There also would be a crescendo of cant about the threat of withdrawal to American global credibility. Every intervention, no matter how foolish and counterproductive, is always defended as essential to convince the world that Washington is willing to undertake even more foolish and counterproductive interventions in the future. Biden would be told that if he didn't punish the Taliban for attacking U.S. forces, to punish his administration for violating the agreement, no one would ever again believe American promises. He would be warned that U.S. credibility was at risk. Biden would be told that acting tough is essential for America's security and even survival. However, there are no good arguments for staying. Imagine Afghanistan as it is, except without U.S. forces. Would anyone suggest that Washington intervene militarily? Would anyone single out Afghanistan as a land warranting invasion and occupation, a country 40 years into a war involving a display of changing combatants? Would anyone insist that given the many challenges facing America, this is one of its highest priorities, warranting what amounts to a permanent military presence? The war is a tragedy, but Americans are not obligated to fight and die, and especially to do so seemingly forever, to transform other nations. War should be a last resort to protect Americans, not a first resort to fix other systems, especially when almost 2 decades of U.S. involvement have not delivered the desired peace. Those who died have done so in vain. That is not their fault, but of U.S. policymakers who should be held to account. Indeed, polls indicate that Afghan veterans are in the lead in supporting withdrawal, with nearly 3/4 in favor. The best way to honor the dead is to stop sending Americans in harm's way for less than compelling causes. Perhaps the worst, but most often argument is that withdrawing from Afghanistan would leave a vacuum for terrorists. Ultimately, fighting in Afghanistan makes America and Americans less safe. The conflict is a tragedy, but not one the U.S. can resolve. Despite the understandable desire to do good, Americans are not obligated to war forever to remake other societies. The wealth and lives should not be Washington's to sacrifice for anything other than defense of the land.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Listening to Youth Station, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Zainab.
She speaks their language. I speak the language of humans. Salaam alaikum, brothers and sisters. Thank you guys for joining us to Youth Station.
That guy's Habib. I'm stuck with him again. So yeah. Thank you, you guys. Thank you for accompanying me.
Yeah. She's going to need all the patience today, especially when we're talking about youth.
Exactly.
Something she has pretty sure forgotten about. And, you know, just way past out of it anyway. Anyway.
As if. Okay.
Yeah. That as if is for, so 2006. If Gen Z were here right now sitting with us, they would bash you so hard.
You're a Gen Z.
I don't know what I am, actually. I'm born in 1996. What is 1996?
Oh, no. You're still a millennial.
Oh, no.
Born in 2000s, I think, are Gen Z.
Yeah.
Do you think the youth, especially in this time and age, you know, because it's the age of information, it's the age of technology, it's the age of things being more apparent, more revealed, more evident. There are almost no more secrets left, and everyone finds out everything like that,
yeah.
Right? Is it better for our youth to be realistic, or us as youth? Why do I exclude us? Is it better for us to be realistic or idealistic?
What do you mean by realistic? What do you mean by idealistic? Please explain to me.
Realistic is accepting the state of things as they are, right? And calculating their outcomes based on
what they have between their hands.
Exactly. Idealistic, however, is more of a notion of shooting for the moon, right?
And hoping for the best.
Shooting for the moon and, yeah, maybe hoping for that. I'm not saying, yes, yes, and hoping for the best. Because sometimes I find in being realistic, you accept things as they are, good or bad. But when you're an idealist, you just want things to be ideal all the time. And I find that really painful.
I don't know. Is there something in between it? Is there a line between realistic and idealistic?
SpongeBob.
I think SpongeBob is the best example.
Yeah.
And I believe being a SpongeBob is very important now.
For real?
Yes. It's not like you can't be too realistic. You have to be realistic, sorry. You can't be too idealistic. Because sometimes it's impossible.
It is impossible. And that kind
of. Not only that, but you know, there's nothing around you to help you. Mm. True. You have to. You set your aims. But sometimes the situation doesn't help. I had a goal of being, for example, a soccer player. But
really?
Yeah, I did.
Till when? Till what age?
Till 19, when I saw that I can't go outside of Iran, for example. Or, you know, I went inside the house, I got married and stuff like that. And you're like, all right, so I have to be realistic. My body was strong.
Mm.
You know, I could have played in defense.
Really?
I could have, you know, broken a couple of bones before in my life. I have done it in my youth.
So are we talking about soccer or American wrestling football?
No,
here.
Soccer.
Okay.
Soccer, yeah. My body's that strong. Yes.
Mashallah.
Mashallah. Now I'm going to go outside my back.
No, he's right, you guys. He really is. He really is. I feel like a hamster compared to him. I was just telling him on the way to the studio.
I was kind of fast for my body, so that was something. But then all of a sudden, you know, when you fall into your situations that you have between your hands, reality drags you back. So, you know, you get dragged back sometimes. So you have to understand your situation. Why? So that if you fail, you don't get depressed.
Mm.
That's important for me.
Okay, so it's important to have an ideal in your head.
Like, yeah, this is what I want.
But rely on realistic means.
Exactly. Okay. That's what I mean, like SpongeBob-wise. Because SpongeBob always brings up the best of everything.
Yeah, he's always, I'm ready.
Everything between his hands.
But he's still like, he accepts the reality of his life as being a fryer at Krabby Patty.
Yeah, and he's the best at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mr. Krabs cannot, you know.
Fire him. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, in 20 years, I don't know, Pearl's not going to want the Krusty Krab. It's going to SpongeBob right away. Anyway, leave it alone, SpongeBob now. Personally, this is my personal experience with the goal that I've always wanted when I was young. You know, I've always dreamed about it. My father was a football player because I've seen my father, my uncles who were all footballers and they loved to play football. And then there was a chance for me to be a football player and I got so good at it at one point. And then I got dragged back right away because of the situations.
Mm.
And that's really not my fault.
No.
It really goes back to this.
I
had the drive.
Fault,
it's just like the environment that I was in. It wasn't helpful enough.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no academies, for example. But there's a difference between being born to a football player who, for example, played for a team and they take their child. For example, I could bring up names of famous football players right now.
Mm.
Their children are being asked to come to the academy.
Mm.
They're being begged for. And there's like this poor people who are, you know, outside of the country. For example, they even though some of them reach their goals, huh? Mm-hmm. Some of them do reach their goals. But if you're a foreigner, for example, if you're a foreigner and that cannot go out, it's
you
more difficult.
Don't stand
it depends, really. From everyone's situation is different. There are some people.
And it really depends on your destiny, what Allah decreed for you at the end of the day.
That really also goes back to you. Mm. What Allah decreed for you also is your actions. You're the one, your dua, your will. True, things could change all of a sudden. I do believe in the butterfly effect.
Mm. But I'm glad you didn't become a soccer star.
Or else you wouldn't have seen me or heard of me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now
I feel worse now.
I swear, I think you're contributing to the world more by being not a soccer star, Habib.
I'm talking about my dreams and my goals. Are you telling me about my contributions?
I had some dreams and goals as a child, too.
What do you want to be?
I wanted to be a director.
I have hope. There are some dreams and goals that go away. Anyway, youth are living in a time where there are a lot of developments. The world is open to each other. And I personally believe that this is the best time for one who wants to drive themselves to become something so much easier. Mm. To be the best, to be the better. And for example, YouTube trolls. Mm-mm-mm. Or Google searches. Mm. At our time, they weren't. The dial-up wouldn't work. I wanted, for example, to see
Remember?
Yeah, I wanted to see, for example, how to do this soccer move. For example, I don't have to put the dial-up. I'll have to wait for the internet to come. If it came, if the answer was available online, I would go look for the books. The books weren't always available. At the end of the day, you will come empty-handed. But now, everything is underneath our hands. So all the equipments are available now.
Exactly. You did have an ideal situation in your head. But again, like we said, be idealistic, but rely on realistic means to get there.
Yeah.
Your realistic means did not facilitate that ideal hope and dream that you had in your mind, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, and it sort of redirected. Now that you have been redirected toward a different route, a different path, a different destination, you're still idealistic in the things you do.
Yeah, I still have, for example, this goal of what I want to do. I want to translate Bihar Lanoir.
That's wonderful.
But I don't have the time for it. It really needs me to quit everything.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah. Once you're 50 or something and your children are grown up. And this guy, he's like, he isn't 25 yet and he's got two kids.
MashaAllah.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-'aliyyil 'azhim. But kudos to you. You know, kudos to you.
You just have to have will.
I'm so proud of what you're doing with your life and yourself.
Thank you, sister.
And the realistic means that you had. And that's another thing I think that it's really important for youth to pay attention to once they have an idealistic dream and they rely on realistic means. They are less prone to disappointment.
Also. Realistic means sometimes differ in levels and stages.
Mm.
And we have the saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, jiddu bil mawjood, do your all with what is available.
Mm-mm.
So it's the top of the mind translation, actually. So, like, even if you have, like, cheap stuff or cheap equipment, do what you can.
Yeah.
Be imaginable. You know, you can make it realistic.
Mm.
Realistic.
Be creative.
Be creative.
Yeah.
There you go. Be creative with what you've got to help you reach your goal.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to be smart. And there are many of times where you need that divine hand
Absolutely.
To come and help you. And
Absolutely.
That really comes the...
See, that's the thing. Because I know you are a persistent person in chasing your dreams and goals, right? You're persistent. You're perseverant. You try your best. But that divine hand did not help you, aid you, assist you in fulfilling your goal or your dream, your idealistic situation of becoming a soccer star. So I'm thinking, really, that wasn't for you.
Maybe, maybe not.
You know?
Yeah.
I really believe in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. And the verse in the Quran, there's no verse in the Quran that gives me more inspiration and at the same time makes me feel like a piece of crap. Like the verse that says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَحَبُّوا شَيْئًا often you love something and it's bad for you. You hate something and it's good for you. You know, it's so beautiful, yet sometimes bittersweet. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much that He kind of like tough loves us. You know, He's like, I know that's what you want. You think it's what you need, but I'm going to give you something else that is actually something that you don't even like, but watch it become the best thing that ever happened to you. You know, like a really strong, bitter, icky cough medicine that...
It's really good for you, actually.
Yeah,
it's better than that hamburger that you wanted.
Exactly, or that greasy fryer.
Yeah.
And it's all about trust. I mean, at the end of the day, it's important for us to be realistic so that we don't get disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about طول الأمن so much. And I think that's what he meant. Having unrealistic dreams and daydreaming constantly about unrealistic situations.
When your realistic situation is not helping.
Exactly.
You're not moving forward towards.
Exactly.
And stuff
exactly.
Like that.
And, but to be ideal because Allah is that merciful, the sky's the limit. You know, shoot for this moon because at least when you fall, you fall among stars. And I think that's really important. That balance is really important for our youth to obtain, because on one hand, they don't want to be the sort of person, the sort of Shia that has طول الأمل, which Amir al-Mu'mineen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those long, far-fetched, unrealistic dreams to chase, have warned us about since like 1400 years ago. And on the other hand, they want to be so motivated, so inspired, so have so much aspiration in them that they shoot for the moon and hope for the best. And use every realistic means and facility and equipment available to reach their aims and goals. And inshallah ta'ala, if they are such a person who've developed this sort of progressive worldview, they would know better than not to choose a goal, a dream that does not serve humanity in some way. Because at the end of the day, what's the point of doing something that does not serve humanity? Which is, again, why I'm glad you didn't become a soccer star.
Yeah.
Because you probably would have been a useless person. I'm not saying our soccer stars are useless. Yeah, but yeah, I'm saying that athletes, overpaid athletes, are useless.
I think that also putting in mind the purpose of life is important.
Yeah, the purpose of life is not chasing after a ball.
Yeah, really.
And being filthy.
True. You know, that adrenaline that happens to you when you put that goal, that ball behind the neck, or when you do a sliding tackle, nearly breaking the legs of that football player. You know that happiness and joy that you get, and everyone is screaming
so
and
fleeting.
Chanting your name. Anyway, that's not the purpose of life.
Exactly, because it's fleeting.
It is.
It's not fulfilling.
And that is why I personally believe that those celebrities, athletes, actors, singers, whenever they reach their goals and they receive their medals and they receive their awards and they're appreciated and it all finishes and they fall into depression.
They're like,
they feel
now
empty.
What? Yeah.
Now what? All right. Yeah, exactly. Boredom comes in. And I think that really goes back to this factor. What is your true purpose of life?
Yep.
That was I created to score from the halfway line at the 90th minute to win my country Lebanon the World Cup?
You guys should see the way his eyes sparkles when he talks about soccer.
Yeah. Or is my purpose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to see myself happy in the afterlife, my Lord satisfied from me and away from the blazes of hellfire or not?
MashaAllah. That's all the time we have for today's episode, you guys. Thank you so very much for being with Youth Station. Until another greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call Creator, my Alpha and Omega, my Protector and my Maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my Defender and my Savior, my Giver and my Taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran, You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Badr 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.